Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Good morning to those listening in the Central Time Zone West, and good afternoon to those of you who listen to AFR on the Eastern Time Zone. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. If you're wondering, where is Ed? Where is Fred? Where is, who else is missing?
Dr. Ray Pritchard.
Ray, they're not here today. They're on strike, and their demands are too unreasonable. So we're trying to negotiate. Walker's my emissary with them, but they formed a union, and we're gonna have to hold firm and bust the union. Yeah. So that's what I'm just kidding, people. You know that. Uh-huh. Hopefully you know that. Although, there are 10 or 15 or 20% of people that are literalists.
Yes.
You know that, don't you, Walker?
I sometimes am a literalist. But right. I've learned being around you that I cannot be a literalist and survive around you. I tell JJ Jasper, who does Trivia Friday here, that he's a jokester. Just about 90%.
JJ is? Yeah.
JJ's a jokester. So I tell him, I say, I assume you're lying, and then I'll assess your statement afterwards to see if you're telling the truth.
Right. Work my way back from there.
Yeah.
No, Fred, Ed, and Ray are not with us today. It's unusual that one of them are not with us on this program on a Thursday. But anyway, Walker and I are carrying it by ourselves, and we appreciate your listening to AFR. Walker, what are we doing on our Today's Issues Facebook page?
Well, early on, Chris Woodward, in the place of Fred Jackson, talked about Hurricane Irma and many things related to that. I've posted a couple different news stories from onenewsnow.com on our Facebook page. Secondly, I posted Dr. Jeffress' book, which is on our store, afastore.net. I posted a link to purchase that book for $19.99 on our website. I posted that on the Facebook page.
We'd appreciate it if you buy the book through us, because it helps our ministry, okay? That's the reason we have Dr. Jeffress on today, is to promote the book, and promote the book because we're promoting Christian theology, heaven.
Right.
That's what we're talking about. This isn't just, you know, how to be a good person tomorrow or make better sales. Mm-hmm. This is a place called Heaven, 10 Surprising Truths About Your Eternal Home. This is basic Christian theology that we're promoting here to help you in your walk with the Lord. Steve Jordahl is with us with onenewsnow.com and American Family Radio News. What's the connection between onenewsnow.com and American Family Radio News, Steve?
Onenewsnow.com is our website. So most of what you hear on American Family News will end up on the website in written form. American Family News, of course, is radio, like most of AFR, like all of AFR. And we repurpose a lot of the stories and put them at onenewsnow.com, where you can go at your leisure when you're done listening to Today's Issues.
What's a leisure?
Leisure? It's a French for ease.
Oh, is that how you pronounce it if you grew up on the West?
I say leisure. I'm not sure if that's right or not.
Leisure is fine. I think that I'm just being hoity-toity.
No, maybe it's me, Steve. I'm being picky here.
Leisure.
You said leisure.
Leisure. Your leisure. Now that I say it, that sounds right as well.
How I've always heard it before, but I thought maybe there's a different pronunciation if you're from.
It's just like Canadians say when they say, in the South, we say mom. They say mom.
Mom. That's how they do it in England.
Too. I don't know what that's all about.
Okay, now that the important stuff's over, let's talk about, before we jump into the news.
I've got two burning questions first, if we can, First of all, I just got to tell you guys that if you leave this studio and leave one of those, A Place Called Heaven books.
You're going to take them?
I'm not that I'm cheap or anything, but I am going to take it.
Well, we may have
I can't
one.
Wait to read this book.
So let me get this right, Steve. You're threatening to steal a book about heaven?
I'm just putting you on notice. If it's laying around and nobody wants it, then I'm taking it. The second thing I've got to ask is the reason that Walker's here today is because he just happened to come back from Washington and is here, or is it because We couldn't quite get Wesley to pronounce Dr. Jeffress's name right.
Was that yesterday?
Yeah, yes. I guess I did. Did you give
him a hard time?
Well, I don't know. Did I? Steve?
Yeah, sort of? He kind of brought it on himself.
Well, here's the deal. Dr. Jeffress' name is spelled J-E-F-F-R-E-S-S. But 8 out of 10 people call him Dr. Jeffers. And that's not the correct.
So Walker was calling him Jeffries.
Well, that'll work too.
What, you mean Wesley?
I mean, Wesley was calling him Jeffries.
I don't know. Well, maybe it was a little hard on, but we're family. Yeah. We're okay.
I just wanted to know.
I've gotten on to him worse before, so he's not crying or anything,
no,
Steve.
No, he's fine.
Okay.
We're not snowflakes here.
No,
we got some
not
thick
snowflakes
skin.
Here. We're talking about Wesley. My other son was doing what Walker, my youngest son, is doing today, filling in for him. Now, we got this, not going to spend a lot of time on it because people can get this information more places tracking the hurricane. But
right.
But we have a lot of almost everybody listening to me right now has some friends or family or acquaintances or coworkers or something who live in Florida.
Popular state, yeah.
20 million people or more live in the state of Florida. And of course, I'm looking at this cone.
I know.
Provided by the Weather Channel, and it covers the whole state of Florida right now.
Yeah,
in terms of the impact from the hurricanes.
What the cone is, it's actually issued by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association, the government agency. And what the cone is this is the ground that the center of the storm could travel. It has, and further away from the center, the less a chance of it being there. But if you take it, if it's on the right side of the cone, this thing could turn before it even gets to Florida and headlong into South Carolina.
Yeah. And a lot of things that folks aren't talking about is everyone's focusing on Irma. You have Jose, and there's one other one. I can't pronounce the name. But there's really three hurricanes. There's one behind Irma out in the Atlantic towards the African coast.
That's Jose.
Jose. Then there's one in the Gulf of Mexico down towards the panhandle of Mexico.
Yeah, and that one is heading over across Mexico, maybe Cozumel and that area. And it's
going backwards?
No, it's going the same direction, but it's going it's south of the United States. So it's hitting Cozumel, and I don't know if it's Cozumel, but south – in the Central American Peninsula, Mexico, and it's going to head inland from there. So one isn't going to affect the United States.
But Irma, the reason it's getting so much attention, any major hurricane that heads toward the U.S. is going to get attention. But it was a Category 5, which is the strongest
hurricane.
It's
a monster.
And they were saying it's as large as the country of France, right?
That's what they're saying. The Miami Beach mayor says that residents have to leave because this is what he's calling a nuclear hurricane. It's okay. Just his way of saying,
get
out. If
you knew a nuclear bomb was coming, you'd get out. Well, consider this the same.
So this danger. Also, people are going. You know, the traffic's backed up in Florida. We just need to remember those people in our prayers because it's going to be a very, very serious situation. Already is a very, very serious situation.
And don't forget that Houston is still trying to dig out.
And Louisiana. And
Louisiana is still trying to dig out from Harvey.
And so. Beaumont and other parts of Texas, So the one difference between one of the major differences between a hurricane in the Gulf of Mexico and a hurricane that stays in the Atlantic are on the east side of Florida is you don't have the oil refinery shutdowns.
Right.
At least from that aspect, it doesn't have an impact.
It won't have an impact on the price of
gas. Right, right, right. But I tell you what, another thing you begin to worry about at this point is insurance companies. How much can they absorb? You know what I'm saying? Because these are potentially, one of them already is, but you could have a second major storm. You're talking about billions and billions of dollars.
Yeah, we're seeing it. We've already seen the. I remember noting that the insurance company's stock prices had dipped after Harvey hit. It was they're noting that they're going to be paying out an awful lot.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a swath of people who are going to find out that they are not properly or efficiently insured in this. So listening this morning, if you're listening in Florida now, it's a little too late to do this, but there's two different kinds of insurance. They've got insurance for things like the bottom up. It's an insurance if your house floods from a rising tide or a storm surge, something that's coming from the ground up into your home. And then they've got a whole separate insurance for if something is the roof down. So if the hurricane topples your house, that's a different insurance than if it floods. And you need both insurances if you are, well, I don't know if your house toppled down. I guess it wouldn't matter if it was flooded. But
right. Sounds like separate wind and flood insurance.
Right. So if your roof was blown off, you need one insurance. And if your house floods, you need a second insurance, which I've not lived in a hurricane zone, so I've never had to deal with that. But
right.
Well, and I can only imagine what the rates are going to go up for people who live along the coast once this is settled down, you know. And keep in mind, we haven't had a major hurricane since 2005,
since Katrina.
So this is the way insurance is supposed to work. During that whole time that we haven't had a hurricane, people have been paying insurance. For the years that we haven't had a major hurricane, they've still been paying into the fund. So now that the fund has to pay it out, there should be money there because they've been paying into it all along.
Right. Yeah.
That the money should go out and your insurance shouldn't rise much because the risk hasn't changed. It's just you've
Yeah, I know, but but you're dealing with a catastrophic situation here. I understand what you're saying. And you know, a lot of these insurance companies have they buy insurance.
Yeah.
Sounds kind of odd, but a lot of your insurance companies buy insurance themselves in case something like this happens, where you have a
two in a row,
have a cataclysmic situation, so your company doesn't go belly up, you know.
Right.
But anyway, that's the hurricane is still tracking toward South Florida, and then will turn north. But I'm saying I'm looking at this cone. Projected by the, what did you call it, the National what?
National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association.
And it has, if this holds true, it has Hurricane Irma, like, going all through the state of Florida.
It's going to hit right about Miami. It's supposed to go directly
but if it goes,
over Miami.
If it goes due north, if it hits Miami or the Keys and then turns up and goes due north, then you're going due north, you're basically raking the whole state. Florida, the whole state of Florida, maybe with the exception of the panhandle.
USA Today reports that Hurricane Irma has the potential of affecting every major city in Florida.
Yeah.
So we're talking Miami, we're talking Orlando, we're talking Tampa, we're talking
Jacksonville,
and on up. Much not to say the tourist beaches and the, you know, the
Disney
the
World
damage
and, Orlando.
And all those theme parks that, in Orlando that we didn't mention. Yeah, so.
Yeah. All right. Well, I've got good friends that live on Hilton Head Island. They look like they could be impacted as well. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of listeners who listen to us in Jacksonville, Florida, because we have a radio station there. You're listening to American Family Radio, AFR.net. If you want to watch the show live, you can go or comment on the program. Go to Today's Issues Facebook, Today's Issues Facebook page. All right, Steve Jordahl, what's next?
Well, this is happening on Capitol Hill.
What was that we
Donald
just heard?
That was the Russia music from the Russia Files. Donald Trump is being questioned today right now by the Senate committee staff. He is meeting in private with Senate Judiciary Committee members, and they are probing, of course, the Russian interference of the 2016 elections. Democrats hoping they can find whatever they can find to link the Trump campaign to that experience. So he's expected to face hours of questioning by the committee staff. Remember, it was Donald Trump Jr. who met with attorney Natalia Valianskaya and that whole brouhaha.
So you're talking about Donald Trump Jr.
Junior
on Capitol Hill meeting
on Capitol
with the Senate.
Hill, okay. Trump's oldest son.
Yawn.
Okay, we can go on. I just, you know, it was a chance to play the music.
Okay, yeah, but that was good. I any
like
chance we have to play that Russian male choir there.
Yeah.
Play that again, Brent. Now, that's some serious testosterone right there, my friend.
They got it going on. It's not easy to do.
What do you got next?
Do you remember back in June when Bernie Sanders took on Russell Vogt, and he said that Russell Vogt had written that that editorial for his paper saying that Jesus was the only way to God, and that anybody outside of that stood condemned. And
oh, you're talking about the gentleman who appeared before Sanders on the Senate
yes.
committee. We sent that out.
We did
as an action alert. So people,
Sanders,
yeah,
his line was, "This nominee is really not someone who is what this country is supposed to be about." So yeah. He's going to vote no.
Bernie Sanders was basically telling a man, "You can't have Christian theology and mm-hmm. serve in the government."
Right. Yesterday, in a different hearing, this was a hearing for a Professor Amy Coney Barrett, who is looking for a spot, is nominated for a spot in the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. Dianne Feinstein took into this nominee, and this is what she said.
When you read your speeches, the conclusion one draws is that the dogma lives loudly within you. And that's of concern when you come to big issues that large numbers of people have fought for years in this country.
That's Dianne Feinstein. Professor Comey Barrett is an outspoken or faithful Catholic, and that's what Dianne Feinstein had a problem with. So,
well, what job is she applying for?
A judge on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals.
Okay, so a federal judge.
A federal judge, exactly the same as Russell Vogt. No, it isn't. This is a federal judge. Right, Vogt was for an administration position.
Right. Wow. So the senator from California there is basically saying you can't be a good Catholic and be a federal judge.
You got to be careful. And this isn't the first time. 14 years ago, she brought up, and Chuck Schumer and Richard Durbin, who are still in there, took on William Pryor, who was nominated for a spot on the 11th Circuit, which he holds now. And they questioned his deeply held beliefs, his Catholic beliefs. Feinstein disapprovingly quoted out of context from a speech, and so she's had a history of having a problem with.
Let me just say again, the federal judges and the Supreme Court, immensely important to the future of our country. I can't overstate that enough, and was the main reason why most Christians voted for President Trump, then candidate Trump, over Hillary Clinton, was over this issue of judges, because they determined so much. You can pass all the laws you want, but if they're going to be struck down by judges, mm-hmm. what good is it? And that's what was, we have a war for the soul of our country going on right now, and much of it is decided by who the judge is. And these secular, liberal, progressive judges are going to ruin our country if they're able to get a majority.
Right.
Now, they're not a majority yet, but they're getting there with 8 years of President Obama appointing federal judges. There's a lot of those secular progressives out there on the bench, and they rule by whatever their gut says. They don't go on the written law or the constitutionality. Most of these secular liberal judges that have been appointed by President Obama, they go with whatever they feel is morally right, and the Constitution they don't care about so much. So that's why it's very important that President Trump is able for 4 years to get his judges mm-hmm. on the court that do rule by the Constitution and not by how they feel.
Right.
And we need another Supreme Court justice or two. And then we can begin to return the will of the people or the rights of the people back to the states and other places where decisions should be made, not just by one. Federal judges are little gods. Mm-hmm. They're appointed for life, Steve.
They are appointed for life, and they can act like little gods. I had a discussion offline with Dr. Jeffress this morning, and he's very frustrated as a sometime counselor to the president about the logjam that these appointees are having in the Senate because of certain procedures that they're doing. So the left, I think, Democrats understand the importance of this battle.
There's two takes from this. My first take is it's dangerous if the Democrats succeed in stopping a nominee for any position in federal government because of their religious convictions, whether it be Christian, Jew, etc. Calling out religious convictions as a reason to not be nominated is dangerous precedent, because it means if that succeeds, Christians are disqualified from serving in the federal government.
If this person, is this a woman or a man?
It is a woman.
Okay, this woman who's up for the federal judgeship, what's her name?
Amy Coney Barrett.
Okay, if she had been a Muslim and signed by Dianne Feinstein, the senator from California, went after her and said, this dogma, this Islamic dogma is really deep in your heart, isn't it? Then she would have been
blasted
for a religious test for a judge.
Right. There are many who say that that would never have happened, though.
No, it would never happen because it wouldn't be PC.
Yeah.
But it's against Christians. It's open season. So
it's interesting what they took on Bill Pryor about before he was nominated, before he got his seat, was when he was talking about the challenge of the next millennium will be to preserve the American experiment by restoring its Christian perspective. He was actually quoting from a couple theologians and based on the St. Thomas Aquinas, who argued that being a faithfully religious Christian or person, we can port this to just about any faith, would actually make you a better judge, administrator, bureaucrat, whatever it is that you do in life, holding to your faith, and the Christian faith specifically, would make you a better judge.
Right, because those convictions line up with the Constitution.
Well, because because you take an oath to the Constitution, mm-hmm. and your oath, you can be trusted more as a person who follows Christ to uphold an oath.
Right. The second point I wanted to make, I didn't get to, is that Mitch McConnell and the Senate, the Republican senators, if they do not expedite these appointments and get rid of all these rules that the Democrats are holding up all these nominees, then they're equally responsible for what we have right now. Because we need to expedite the system. Here's what happens. You give the Democrats a chance to play by the rules and be a good statesman. And if they want to do this stuff where they're holding up people because they're Christians, then we're going to bypass you and you're not even going to have a hearing. We're going to get these guys on the bench, and if you want to be respectful of their religious beliefs and quit being unreasonable, then we'll go by the blue slip rule and all the arcane rules. But the Democrats don't play by the rules.
So you heard that yesterday Donald Trump made a deal with the Democrats on this debt limit. Did you guys hear about that?
Yeah, we got 1 minute. You want to explain that one?
Well, no, I don't. But what I'm saying is he did make a deal with the Democrats. And some people say that maybe this is him saying, okay, I gave you that. You better give me maybe some judicial appointments, maybe something on a tax reform. He is the deal maker. And some people say the reason he made the deal with that there's another end of that deal. So that's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know why he made that deal. We were talking about that this morning. That's a mystery. We'll have to wait and see. Anyway. We do need more good judges on the bench all across America. And we can talk about this another time, but the 60-vote threshold, if it remains in the Senate, that is the so-called, well, it's not so-called, it's a filibuster, basically. If that remains and the Democrats are able to block all legislative issues that President Trump or the Republicans want to get through Congress, then that will be on the Republican senators who are in favor of maintaining the ability of the minority to block every single thing that comes up.
To be accurate, that has already been done away with regard to judges.
True.
So the judge will not, Ms. True. Moore will not face that.
But I'm talking about legislative issues. But all right, folks, thank you for joining us on the program today. Dr. Alistair Begg will be straight ahead with the wonderful Bible teaching program. We shall see you here tomorrow with Trivia Friday. We'll see you then.